Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It's well known that the FBI enlisted alleged Boston mobster James Whitey Bulger as a secret top echelon informant in the 1970s. But newly obtained government documents reveal Bulger began snitching on criminals back in the 1950s. Bulger's career would culminate in widespread FBI corruption and the alleged murders of other informants whose identities federal agents provided to Bulger. He now faces charges in 19 murders. As the 82-year-old Bulger prepares for a trial in the fall, WBUR's David Boeri reports on surprising discoveries about Bulger at age 26.
Take my hand, I'm a stranger in paradise.
You want to put the era in perspective? Tony Bennett was young. The song was new. 1955 was closer in time to the Spanish-American War than to this November's trial date. And Sonny Bulger, as some people still called him, was stealing from the backs of trucks.
Whitey's in his mid-20s, and tailgating is the stuff of teenagers,
says Dick Lair. He and fellow former Boston Globe reporter Jerry O'Neill are writing the biography of James Bulger.
He's got to move on to the new big thing. And at the time, in the 50s, bank robbery was where the action was.
Starting that May, Whitey and his accomplices robbed banks in Pawtucket, Melrose, and Hammond, Indiana. He jumped onto bank counters, never bothered with a disguise, and pointed two guns when ordering everyone to the floor.
First time I ever ran into Whitey, it was one night. It was 1955.
Eddie Walsh was a rookie Boston cop. He's 90 now, one of the few living cops or criminals who knew the players then.
Him and Stevie.
Stephen Flemmy.
You know, they're bad guys, you know. They were vicious guys, boy.
Steel hard, stand up, contemptuous of weakness, the last person in the world to ever rat someone out. Bulger's persona was forged of this for decades, until the late 1990s. That's when federal judge Mark Wolf blew the image to bits by exposing Bulger as a protected secret FBI informant set loose in the 70s. But FBI files and prison records recently obtained by Lair and O'Neill reveal that Bulger began ratting people out in 1956. I showed the files to Kevin Weeks, Bulger's surrogate son.
To surprise you that even back then, he was ratting people out?
Knowing what I know today, no. I mean, if you asked me that, you know, prior to the indictments in 94, 95, I would have said never.
But it's still news to Weeks that Bulger began snitching the same year Kevin was born. Weeks smiles at what the files reveal about the clever machinations of his former boss. They involve the young Bulger's Machiavellian use of his own girlfriend to get out of a jam. He's a bank robber at the time, and he has a woman with him. Author Dick Lair.
Yes, his girlfriend at the time was a woman named Jackie McAuliffe.
She lived in Southie and listened to the FBI description of her in a 1956 warrant for his arrest.
Described as follows. 5'6", 118 pounds, blue eyes, platinum blonde hair, very attractive, model type.
When the usually tight-lipped FBI is moved to employ an adverb, as in very attractive, you know she was striking.
They are believed to be riding in a 1951 Oldsmobile 98.
Jackie and Jim traveled as Mr. and Mrs. Bulger. Back in Southie, her married name was Martin, and she had a 6-year-old daughter. Out on the road as Mrs. Bulger, she acted as a lookout from the back seat, according to the FBI, while Bulger and an accomplice named Richard Barshard robbed the Hoosier State Bank in Hammond, Indiana. November 1955. The outlaws celebrated in Chicago, but by January, the FBI had a warrant for Whitey's arrest.
If located, hold car and occupants. James J. Bulger is considered to be armed and dangerous.
Jackie was now riding shotgun to a fugitive. She wasn't exactly Bonnie to his Clyde, but soon she would be doing his dirty work. A good-looking platinum blonde from Southie who loved dogs and a wanted man. Sound familiar? 40 years before dog-loving, attractive, platinum blonde Catherine Gregg of Southie rode off with Bulger on his second fugitive run in 1996, there was Jackie McAuliffe Martin. Kevin Weeks had long observed the same female fascination for his boss.
They make movies about things like that, girls being attracted to the bad boy, you know, the flash, the lifestyle, the money.
His hair now dyed black, Jim burned up the blacktop on a cross-country run with his platinum paramour, in the quaint bureau lingo of the day. It gets to the point, the ride is over, Jackie would tell a cop half a century later. I don't want to be with him anymore. But how do you tell him?
I hang suspended.
Suspended between freedom and prison, Bulger lasted just 3 months. In March 1956, FBI agents brought his ride to an end in Revere, where things often ended for mobsters. Jim went to jail and started snitching. Jackie went back to South Boston, but she would soon come back in a role as supportive as Catherine Gregg would later play. This from an FBI report in July 1956.
Bulger, after his apprehension, cooperated with this bureau to the extent of admitting his participation in 3 bank robberies.
He admitted his own role and then told the bureau who his accomplices were in 2 of the bank jobs that were still unsolved. But Bulger didn't want it on paper. Biographer Dick Lair.
He made these oral admissions but insisted that it not be put in writing.
The reason why is simple, says Kevin Weeks.
So that way there was no written statement and no signature by him.
And so nobody can say he's ratting people out.
Correct.
Yet Bulger made sure the FBI got the names of his accomplices on paper. And here's where Jackie, the blonde bombshell, comes back into the story. Whitey gives her up. After all, she can name his accomplices. She had been along for the ride. Weeks, who was Bulger's prize pupil, has it all figured out.
The girl makes a written statement, so nothing can be attributed to him. He still has his reputation. No one can prove that he was the actual one that gave up the 2 other people. It looks like it was her.
According to the FBI report of July 13, 1956, Bulger persuaded Jackie
to cooperate with the Bureau. As a result of her cooperation, process was obtained for Bulger's accomplices.
The FBI soon grabbed William O'Brien and Richard Barshard. 56 years later, I broke the news to Barshard.
Would it surprise you if I told you that she was the one that gave you up to the FBI?
I'd found Richard Barshard far away. He was down in the Gulf, but wishing he was even farther.
I don't know who gave me up, but I mean, it's so long ago, it doesn't matter, really.
I read Barshard the report. He'd done 10 years in prison. He'd gone to Alcatraz, the notorious rock, because Bulger used Jackie to give him up.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, because he didn't give me the impression that he was that type of a guy. Whitey and I got along good. I respected him, he respected me. I didn't think he would ever run his mouth, but I guess he did. It's too bad, because I thought we were friends.
That's a line a lot of people apparently didn't live to repeat.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
It was 1956, and the hit song could have been Whitey's. He wasn't yet a star, but he was already a snitch. The pattern was set. For outlaw and girlfriend, it was sunset. They'd done New York, Miami, New Orleans, the Gulf Coast, Chicago, and then California. Ever hear of that itinerary before? It was the same pattern Bulger would repeat with the version 2.0 of Jackie, named Catherine Gregg, in 1995. Even sneaking back to Southie to pick up Catherine before hitting the fugitive road in 1995 was the sequel to picking up Jackie for the same run in 1956. Only Jackie was a white-haired grandmother now. Ever talk to the FBI? A cop on her doorstep asked Jackie McAuliffe Martin when she was in her 80s. No, you're the first, she said. I've been expecting someone to show up. Jackie could have given the Bureau some tips. She could have told them how much he loved California. She could have played Where's Whitey? After all, she'd been there with him at the start, half a century ago. And then, in December 2010, Jackie was gone more surely than any fugitive. She passed away just like most of the living who were there when Whitey started making patterns in 1955. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.